First, the copper network is being retired. But what if you rely on a landline and don't want to hang up the home phone? Already gone from many households, home phones are fast becoming a thing of the past. Now customers are being told to be proactive if they still do want one. Copper has provided the line for landlines and monitored alarms, but telecoms infrastructure provider Chorus says copper's time is up. It's withdrawing its remaining copper network area by area from the remaining 3% of homes and businesses still using it, wherever fibre technology is available. The upshot is, no matter the service provider, copper wire landline customers will need to either hang up the home phone or seek out alternatives. I'm speaking to Chorus spokesperson Steve Pettigrew. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Catherine.
And also to Spark product director Tessa Tierney. Spark operates the network of switches which automatically connect landline calls. Welcome to you, Tessa.
Morena, Catherine.
So there's two things going on here. One is the copper withdrawal, the copper network being turned off, and the other is this public switch telephone network, PSTN, that Spark runs. Can you explain, Tessa, what's happening with it?
Yes, I can, and thank you for having us on today. So I think the first thing to remind listeners is your home phone isn't going anywhere. The technology that underpins your landline is going to change and modernise, but you will still have a home phone for as long as you want one into the future for now. The public switch telephone network, or PSTN, is being retired. This is technology that in the 80s automated those old people that worked in the telephone exchange that flicked your phone call to the line that you wanted to call. We automated it, but unfortunately the technology for the public switch telephone network stopped being made about 18 years ago, and many of the skilled people that ran those services are now leaving the workforce. So it's time for us to make this change, which of course we recognise is once in a generation type change for New Zealand. Zealanders to move to more modern technologies, keep their home phone, but move to something more reliable underneath.
Let's get into the nitty-gritty to help people out who still have a copper-connected landline. Because if they want to keep a home telephone freestanding landline, they can. But the way that it works as a phone changes and changes significantly. Steve, can you explain how that phone service will now be delivered and what equipment you'll need in order to have one?
So Chorus has been building a fibre network for the last 11 years, since 2011, and that's going to reach, by the end of this year, that will reach 87% of New Zealanders. So fibre is a multi-generational technology. It's going to be with us for many, many years. And as Tessa talked about, copper has, you know, it's coming through to its sunset time. So when you move across to fibre, you get to keep all the services that you've got today on copper. So you can keep your landline, you can have broadband if you want it, you can have just your pure voice service if you want it. There is a difference because the way you plug your phone in, you're instead of plugging your phone into the wall in using the PSTN days, you might be plugging your phone into the router that your service provider will offer.
So straight off the bat, this is what I want you to explain to people. You're going to need some kind of computer connection. You're going to be either having a broadband internet or a wireless internet. Just explain in the most basic terms what you will need in order to get a phone service through that landline phone, but what you will need in order to be able to connect to it. What's the most basic stuff you'll need?
Yes, absolutely. And it might be worth me talking to this as the service provider. So effectively, as with many broadband customers, you're going to need a modem. It's a little box that sits somewhere in your house where you choose it to be, and the landline plugs into that as opposed to the wall. And then you'll have your normal home phone. So those portable phones that people buy from Harvey Norman or anywhere they've always had them will be the same. It now just plugs into a modem. And you'll make a call like you normally would in the copper landline network.
Do you need a computer? Do you need internet connections? Do you need all these things, or do you simply need that one little box?
You need the one little box. You do not need a computer.
What are the means by which the phone service will now be delivered? Because this is another concern people have about the retirement of copper. It's like the cockroach, right, in an earthquake. Electricity's out, Wi-Fi might be out, mobile might be out, but that copper landline worked. Now, what are the different ways and the different mechanisms by which you can now receive this phone service.
Yes, absolutely. So we do recognise that's a concern for many people around power cuts in their home, because the copper network, as you described, worked for a few hours after the power went out, whereas fibre and wireless technologies, which are the two technologies that are the modern alternatives, do not. And so generally for most customers that we meet, that's not such a problem because they reach for their mobile phone and that works in a power cut. But there are some customers for which mobile technology or mobile phones is not something that they're familiar with. And in that instance, and they are, it's good to remember, they are protected by the Commerce Commission's Vulnerable Customers 111 code. We ensure that we provide a device that's home phone-like but runs over the mobile network free of charge, or a battery backup device that helps them in the instance of a power cut.
So let's just get really clear. Let's focus in on those vulnerable customers who are covered by a code agreed with the Commerce Commission. What are their issues? In the first instance, will there be some for whom an exception is made with respect to a copper landline or not?
Where copper is withdrawn, then there isn't an exception there. They move to a more modern technology. But what we do ensure is that they have appropriate device that will work in the event of a power cut if they need to contact 111 or an alternative service.
Okay, now explain the different options for that device, because this is where people for whom this is a big move get confused by fibre, fixed wireless, some kind of cable, satellite. Just talk us through what they can use.
Yeah, and I think what's really important in this is, and particularly if you think about how we communicate this entire change to our customers, is that for some customers this is a really challenging change and can be quite daunting. So the first thing for us is to make sure that we, and one customer has described this back to us, as it was like having Spark riding shotgun on this change, where we provide in-home services so that people can come and help you make the change. They'll change the technology for you, so our people will come into your home if that's what you're comfortable with. They will change over and plug in that box that you need, plug in your phone, show you how it works. If you have up to three phones, they'll make sure they're working. If you have a alarm system, they'll make sure that's working. And if you are concerned about power cuts, they'll also provide you under that vulnerable customer code with that alternative device and teach you how to use it.
What is the alternative device? How does it function, Tessa?
So it's a very basic mobile phone, and it operates very similar to a landline. We've used them ourselves, and it's like picking up your portable phone in your house. It looks very, very similar to the one you use every day, but it's running on the mobile network with a battery.
And who is going to be entitled to that kind of backup?
Generally, it's someone that falls into that category of what's considered vulnerable people. So you can contact us for more details, but effectively it's someone who needs connection, particularly to 111, in the event of an emergency.
So now someone's trying to work out what their best alternative is going to be, and what goes into that. Some people might already have cable in their property that they may not be aware of. What are the various options, and how do you know what's right for you?
Yes, so we do this area by area. So it's quite gradual in the way that it rolls out. So the first thing is to make sure that we don't remove the PSTN or copper technology until there is a wholly available modern technology. From a Spark point of view, those available alternatives are wireless or fibre. And that comes down to personal choice. Sometimes that's price driven, sometimes that's convenience, okay. Those sorts of things.
Fibre has been laid. Where yes. It has been laid, it's available to your house, it just has to be activated.
Yes.
The wireless, just for people not familiar with it, explain how that works in your house.
Yes, so for some people, getting a fibre line in is not an option they want. Maybe they don't want parts of their house dug up, or they want to go wireless first.
You've got to have a wire running around the side of the house.
Correct.
And into the house. Okay.
Correct. So the way wireless works is very similar to the mobile network. That box inside your home, you can put it anywhere you like, plug it into a power socket. It can be in the lounge, it can be in the garage, it can be in the bedroom, because it's not constrained by that wired line. And then that connects to the mobile network, but you wouldn't know that. It's just a box sitting in your house with some lights on it, your phone's plugged into it, and you make a call, no problem at all.
This is the other issue, which is what happens when mobile networks go down, and they can in emergencies. And Steve, I'll come and talk to you a little bit more about why you're taking copper out in the moment. Mm-hmm. But let's just stay with when that landline will or won't work. And as we said, unlike copper, if the mobile network's out, it won't work for a while, right? If the power's out, it won't work for a while. Just explain to people, Tessa, how it's different.
Yeah, it's important to remember that the mobile network, such as your mobile phone, you will have around you a number of towers that are serving an area, and it's very unusual for it to have a complete outage, and usually that might be due to power or a instance where the fibre to the mobile tower is cut, in which case most services in the area are impacted. And yes, in that case, you wouldn't be able to make a phone call out. However, again, we have those battery backup options in mobile phones, etc., that might...
There are others who require that landline to run a home alarm or another kind of alarm or device through, Tessa.
Yes.
What happens in this instance if they're losing their copper connection?
All of those things continue to work with the modern technologies. So we assist you in changing over your alarm or any other device that you may have off that network. They will run over fibre and they will run over wireless.
Okay. And if there is an outage, there is... for a vulnerable person, that possible backup you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Steve, can we talk about areas where there is poor coverage? Parts of the country where there's no fibre, and actually mobile may be very ropey as well, and people generally can't get mobile phone calls out. Are they going to get to keep their copper-connected phones?
So the Chorus's copper withdrawal programme only takes place in areas where fibre is available. So that's golden rule and number one onto there. So in the case you just talked about, is yes, Chorus will maintain and operate the copper network in those areas.
Is there a map of where those areas are?
There's a number of maps online that show where fibre has been built to, and therefore you can work through from there of where copper will be remaining.
Okay, and there won't be a grey area where you believe the sufficient cell tower coverage or mobile coverage where you're going to withdraw the copper service. It's either fibre or the copper connection will remain.
No, we're super simple on it. It's only in areas where fibre is available. And the Commerce Commission has another code called the Copper Withdrawal Code that we've been piloting with their support, actually, through the last 18 months. And it's a six-month process to take customers through how they, you know, look at alternatives to the copper network they're currently on, whether that's fibre or wireless, all the information they need, and the opportunity then to have a good think about what they might want to do in terms of the transition to a new technology.
So if you're a listener listening right now, still on a copper landline, you don't have other modern comms in your house, you've never needed it and you don't particularly want it, and you're feeling really nervous about this, what's the most basic way you can get the information you need?
Online is probably the easiest way to do this.
Well, but I've both just said Spark you're not really online.
In that case, well, if you're actually caught into, if you're moving into copper withdrawal, there'll be three points where Chorus will communicate with you by post and by letter with all the information you'll need to think about what that transition might be. But both Spark and Chorus run programs where we go into the communities, talk to people. They're all invited through to come to a session and have a chat about A, the technology, what the benefits are and what the advantages of migrating and moving to the new technology, but also explain exactly what happens and how the process works.
If someone just doesn't do anything, it's all too hard and it's going to wait till tomorrow, will their phone get switched off? And if so, when?
So I can probably pick that one up. So this is something we're super careful about at Spark. And it's also important to note that all of our industry players, all of our service providers like Spark, have all committed to at least a four-month communication window for our customers. And where the care comes in is the communications are multiple. So you'll get a letter. In some instances, we may even come around door to door to let you know that there is change happening, or hang something on your door if you're home to let you know, leave messages on your home phone to let you know. And then, of course, we have our service in and around actually coming to your home if you would like us to help you make this change. When we get closer to things like actually it's time for it to be turned off, we go into extra high care with those people and walking them through that change. So that, and even at this point of suspension, we make sure that we have gone through our customer information with a fine-tooth comb that no one is at risk by that change and your line doesn't disappear. So often what happens is if people have missed it, maybe they're overseas or they have been worried about the change and then too afraid to talk to us about it and the line stops. Generally at that point, you can also then get a call from us and or call us and we'll talk to you and say, we'll switch it straight back on again. You are there. You are home. Let us come and talk to you to help you make the change. So it's very, very tentative and very careful about how we do that with customers. And what we generally find in the main is that actually customers, when we start to talk to them about this, is they're really open with talking with us about it.
We're going to hear in a moment also from Consumer. They got in touch with us this morning just before we came on air when they heard our promo about some of their investigation into how this has been handled over the years. And one of the issues they raised, I don't know the particular telco involved, was whether the advice to customers was suboptimal and whether in some cases people were put onto plans that were more expensive than they needed. Because this is the other thing, that someone moving from solely having a copper landline to having to have broadband or wireless, they face getting put onto some new kind of package. And nobody wants to see an elderly person say, doesn't have to be elderly, whomever, who's not going to be using internet data, paying for stuff they don't need. So Tessa, how will you help consumers with that?
Yes, it's really important. No one wants to see that, and particularly us. We have wireless landline only, fibre landline only plans. So no one is given broadband if they don't want it. Often in our wireless landline plans, we include broadband in the same price as the landline so that if people want to give it a go, they can, but they're not charged additional for that. That's part of that price of that landline piece. So that's really important to have that conversation.
And who initiates that conversation? You can only speak for your telco, but if you are communicating with someone in this situation, are you absolutely upfront saying, this is the simplest, cheapest plan for you?
Yes.
Okay. Steve, why is copper being withdrawn? And I understand the transition to the new technologies. We've all seen the benefits of the new technologies for those who make use of them. But why is copper not being maintained as a backup? For example, in the sort of natural disaster we don't want to think about, but they happen in this country, say an alpine fault-size earthquake, is there not a value in keeping it mothballed for that level or another similar level of disaster?
Copper's resiliency in the kind of face of natural disaster is a bit of a misnomer, really. Certainly, a number of years ago, when all services were fed out of a number of exchanges around the country, there was the possibility of maintaining power backups through generators and through batteries that were available in the exchange. But even in the early 2000s, Chorus moved to the street cabinets that many of us will see in and around our urban areas, certainly. And those street cabinets then had smaller batteries that could sustain the number of the voice lines for a short period of time, but it was pretty much a short period of time. Now, part of the challenges of that mothballing side is electronics and copper wires don't do well being mothballed. They don't like not having current running through them, and they degrade very, very quickly onto that side. And that's really before you get into the side where you're looking at sustainability and the emission side of running a network that actually isn't being used. Today, where Chorus has rolled out fibre, 7 in 10 of us have connected to that fibre already. It's so much the technology of the future that people are kind of recognising that. And that bit, the transition, recognising it, that is always hard. It's now the kind of point for the service providers and for Chorus just to go work that bit harder, I think, in terms of helping people understand how and why to make that transition.
So you're physically removing the copper, and the purpose of physically removing it is what?
We're not physically removing the copper, actually.
Okay.
We're turning off the electronics in the cabinet and in the exchanges.
And would that ever be able to come back in some extreme situation or not?
It wouldn't be impossible.
Okay. Interesting. Thanks, both of you. Welcome to stay on the line if you wish. As we said, we heard from Consumer New Zealand this morning when they heard we were talking about this. And with us now is Caitlin Sherry from Consumer. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning.
You've been delving into this. In fact, I think you might be on the verge of publishing just a bit of a history of how this has unfolded. And from a consumer advocate's perspective, how's it all gone?
Well, I would argue that, I mean, it's great to hear what Spark and Chorus are saying at the moment. The problem is that when this all began, the communication wasn't nearly as good as it is now, to the point where the Commerce Commission actually wrote an open letter to the whole industry and other stakeholders last year in August, and it said it had serious concerns about how the retailers, including Spark and Vodafone, were communicating this withdrawal of both copper and PSTN. As said, the retailers were providing information that was incomplete, confusing, misleading. They were seeking to retain customers and attract new ones. So some consumers were being pressured to move to these alternative services on the basis of the slightly urgent idea that copper or PSTN was being withdrawn. It wasn't always the case. Sometimes those services weren't being withdrawn. And so there's a huge amount of misinformation out there, and it created the sort of sense of panic, particularly amongst some older people who felt like this change was being inflicted on them and they didn't understand it.
You heard from some of them.
We heard from some of them. We actually have, I put a call out and I just got inundated with emails from people saying things like, they were tricky, they phoned me and they said it would be cheaper to get rid of the copper, which captured my attention, but the result has been terrible. We've got terrible mobile reception, so if there's a power cut, we have no communication at all. I feel frustrated to the point where I feel I've been pushed into a place where I just no longer have the energy to deal with this again.
So what do you make of where things have got to a year on? It's a pretty big deal, isn't it, if the Commerce Commission steps up. Have you been able to track an improvement in how that communication is happening?
There has definitely been an improvement because they've now got these codes in place that require the telcos to actually talk to people about what services are available, even if it is supplied by another provider. So that's a lot better. The problem is there are a lot of older people now who just don't want a bar of it. And age concerns had a lot of calls from people too. One person told them they thought it was elder abuse. The main thing is that this is a really significant change in our whole way we communicate. And it was basically left to salespeople in the early days to communicate it, which in my view was not the way to do it. It's so big and such a huge change for people who have been used to one type of technology that it needed to be done a lot more carefully. And so now we're kind of trying to deal with the impact of that early poor communication. Definitely things are a lot better. I'm on fibre. Fibre is brilliant, but the communication hasn't been great.
Has it been particularly focused on those, and we're down to 3% connected anyway, but has it been particularly focused on those for whom it really is the simplest communication? They just want a phone.
They just want a phone.
And it's interesting, you said you had emails from people. That indicates they're you know...
From their daughters and sons in many cases.
Okay. So is there a disconnect, as there sometimes is, between those providing and selling technology and really appreciating that for some people, this is just not a world they move in?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Things have improved. But back in those early days, there were people who were given quite bad information, hence the Commerce Commission stepping in. In some cases, with these older people, they also have this misconception that copper means that you can use your phone in a power cut. But as Steve said earlier, that technology has changed. So your phone, you're on a copper landline, actually won't work that long if there's a power cut. But in the old days, it worked for, you know, it could work for days.
So they really needed to hear trusted voices early on who weren't trying to sell them something, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Do you think, and I think you've alluded to it already, that following the introduction of these codes, people are now able to access that kind of information?
It's still quite challenging. I mean, as we know, it's very hard to get in touch with telecommunications organisations, especially if you're trying to do it by phone. It's not a fun experience, pressing one, pressing two, having to say what you want, then being cut off, being on the phone for 24 minutes before you can even speak to a human. So it is a challenge. A lot of people are advocating for their parents to just try and get them registered as vulnerable consumers. And if you can be registered as a vulnerable consumer, you have the option of keeping a copper landline if it's available. But you also have the option of being given the cell phone, the very simple cell phone, or having a battery backup system so that you can work your phone in an emergency, like if there's a power cut.
That's a good point, Caitlin. Tessa, are you still with us? Tessa Tierney from Spark? Are you still with us? I was just going to ask whether the... And Spark is one big provider, but there's Vodafone and there's others as well. Caitlin, whether... there's a simple thing, like when you try to ring your provider, there's one number where it just simply says, if you are trying to... Oh, no, that wouldn't necessarily be the vulnerable customer, would it? It could be a lot of people still trying to switch to fibre. But is there a really simple way for someone to be able to ring them in without having to go through the hoops that many of us have to go through?
I hope so. I'm not aware of one, but there may well be. But, you know, I mean, we're dealing with, you know, telecommunication companies that don't score very well necessarily on customer service, especially when you're trying to get in contact with them.
So they could have a number that simply says, if you're needing to switch off your copper landline plan to another plan, push here, right?
Yeah.
Because we're down to 3% of the country in that situation anyway, right? Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for your time. Caitlin Sherry of Consumer New Zealand. Thanks also to Tessa Tierney of Spark and Steve Pettigrew of Chorus.